Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I am so glad that we are here today because it's Friday and we're all getting to hang out together. And what a wonderful group of people. I'm just really happy you are all here with me today. So with that, who are all these people that are making me happy today? Well, first, there's Ben. How are you, Ben?
I am great, Jeff. I'm still under a quarter, 4/10 of an inch of ice, but I'm great.
Yeah, well, sorry about all that ice. If it's any consolation, I did have to run to the store yesterday, and I shoveled almost a foot of snow off of my car before I reached the layer of ice on the windshield. And then had to scrape that off.
Yep. You know what goes really well with ice? Rum.
Yeah. If I had been thinking. All right.
Wait a minute. I think I just received an email from Mother Nature saying word to your mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Mother Nature. Anyhow. Yeah, so ice, rum, good mix. Ben, you're halfway there. Just get the rum. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's Friday. Glad to be here. And I didn't get any ice here. We got lucky. We were at the cusp of the 32 degree Fahrenheit temperature. So it was no freezing in my neck of the woods here. But further north, it was pretty bad. So didn't have to experience that, though.
Technically, further north is the literal freezer. So,
right.
So. Yeah, that's true. Yes. Dave, you live further north than I do.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay. Safe bet, I would say.
Yeah. Chicago is actually, I think, quite a bit farther north than Denver and Boulder.
Yeah, I think Denver and Boulder are pretty much at the same point north as Little Rock.
Maybe we're in line with Kansas City.
Okay. Oh, Kansas City.
Well, yeah. So I guess we're a little north of Little Rock. Yeah. Yep. All right. So thanks for joining us for this week in American Weather. Geography. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy it's Friday. It's been a crazy week. Went to Vienna on Wednesday to sign my lease for my new apartment. Still a couple months until I'm going to move, like July, which is also a little bit unfortunate, but it is what it is. Yeah, doing good. Got my new Mac Mini set up this week.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, on the moving thing, July, yeah, I can see where that would be kind of a sucky time to move, mm-hmm. But better than February.
Yeah, probably. Not so sure. I mean, actually, the weather this month has been really nice here. It's actually almost spring. I just read like a couple minutes ago, the like winter's coming back, unfortunately. Yeah, it didn't last. But no, it's been really nice this month. So July here is very, very steamy. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, for moving, not the best time.
Yeah.
I might just get a moving company and just let them deal with it.
I like this plan.
Yeah.
Yep. And with your move coming in July, that gives you a few more months to procrastinate on packing.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely my plan.
Excellent. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. Since we are talking weather, I will let you know that yesterday afternoon it was 70 degrees. This morning it was 32.
I have absolutely no sympathy for you.
Wow.
I know, but I mean, it's just, we're all going to be dead of pneumonia because the morning yesterday started in the 30s, went to 70, and then 18 hours later, it's back in the 30s. I mean, you know, what do you do with that? How do you dress for that? How do you even approach that? So I'm ready to just stay in my hole here and not go out until spring definitely comes or winter definitely comes.
Well, the weather you're describing sounds like Colorado.
Oh, really? Okay.
Almost any given day. And how do you dress for that? It's called layers. That's, yeah. That's how you dress in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then we have, then apparently we have Colorado weather here in Pennsylvania, which sort of validates the whole climate change thing.
Yeah, there you go. And I'd say you're welcome, but yeah, climate change. So
yeah.
We don't do that.
Just yeah.
Not,
not good. All right. But what is good is that Dave is so awesome and he gives me his show notes from In Touch with iOS and lets me use them for topics on the Mac show. So we are going to start with a topic that is straight up from Dave's notes. And this is the news that Dave's laughing because I'm sure he included this story in Touch with iOS last night just to trigger me. And here I am.
Yeah, that was my goal.
Dropping my own trigger right into the show here today. All right. So here's the headline from 9 to 5 Mac. Apple Watch import ban gets dangerously close. President Biden upholds the ITC's Alive Core ruling. All right. So here's the background on this. Alive Core filed lawsuits against Apple for patent infringement for the heart monitoring technology in Apple Watch. And they have won a ruling with the ITC that says that, yeah, Apple can't be doing what they're doing, which can result in an import and sale ban in the United States. The other side of this is that the patents have been ruled as invalid. And that has been held up in court. So not held up in the sense that it's tangled up in court, but in the sense that the courts have said, yes, those patents are invalid. There we go. And that is now pending an appeal. So there we go. That's the whole background on this. And instead of me soapboxing, at least right away, I will open the floor to all of you to share your thoughts.
One of two things is going to happen. Number one, all the appeals are exhausted and the patents are invalid. Number two, Apple writes a check. Either way, this goes away and there will be no ban.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I see one possible scenario in the middle, because overall, my feeling is this is just a politics play. You know, this is Biden playing to his base of, you know, the anti-tech folks who all the bad things in the world that are happening are technology oriented. But I think if there would be a ban, I think it would be really interesting to see just how many Congress people got phone calls, angry letters, you know, death threats, bomb threats, you know, about supporting something like this, because this, and I realize we're all Apple bias here, but at the same time,
it's the Mac show.
But that said, you know, the patents have been invalidated, and yet, you know, they let this slide through as a potential damaging piece of legislation to an American company, and yet Biden, you know, did what he did. Sorry, just feels just like pure tea politics.
I mean, politics or not, if it gets to the point where it will be upheld, Apple will then just write the check and make it go away.
Yeah, what's their play here? Like what is the company's name? Alive Core?
Alive Core. Like
yeah, they're not gonna create a watch that competes with the Apple Watch. I think that that is done and that's over. So, right. I mean, what is like, what do they want? They want to make money. And if they get a certain number, certain percentage of every Apple Watch sale, I think they're happy. Because Apple is doing their job, basically. Apple is marketing it. Apple is building it. Apple is doing everything. And all they have to do is open their pockets and say, pay me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just a matter of the number. I mean, Apple doesn't want to pay anything. They want a lot. And somewhere in the middle, they meet.
Dave, you're amazingly quiet.
I mean, he might just be tired.
I kind of tend to agree with Ben. The Apple's gonna just go and if anything is gonna do is they're gonna pay it off. And it's like, you know, they got their high powered lawyers on the staff, so this isn't gonna, the Apple Watch is just too important to Apple that this is gonna even be an issue at this point.
Heck,
so.
They could buy the company. I mean, if they're allowed to, I think they have enough money that they could just buy them.
Oh, they could buy the company. It's easy.
Oh, yeah. They could buy it with what they find in Tim Cook's couch cushion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Pocket change.
Yeah. I mean, if they're allowed to, is then always the question.
Yeah.
Because Apple is so big.
Yeah. All right. Here's my take. First off, this is a bad headline because it is not correct. We are not dangerously close to a ban. Not even remotely close to a ban. In fact, I would say the likelihood of a ban is extremely low. Then they add in the implication that this is a politics thing because President Biden upheld the ITC's ruling. Okay. That's normal. That's rubber stamping. That's just what happens.
Yeah.
It's news if a president does not uphold an ITC ruling. So I'm not seeing this as a political move. I'm just seeing this as business as usual. When something like this was news, last time that I recall was when President Obama did not uphold an ITC ruling that would have blocked import and sales of iPhones. That was definitely news. But this is just business. So Chuck, my take on it, if this is a political pandering move on Biden's part, the pandering is by doing the normal thing and acting or appearing to be impartial and just following the norm and allowing the ruling to move forward as it is.
And if push comes to shove, he can change his mind.
True. He can always change his mind. Now, the other part of the dangerously close would require that the patents are currently held as valid.
And I think they are. If they I are read not. The article, heck, really?
Yes, AliveCor is appealing the ruling.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So AliveCor needs to overcome that.
Because here in the article it said that the ITC ruled that Apple infringed on the patent.
The ITC ruled that, but the patent office ruled that the patents are invalid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, welcome to the United States.
Yes, okay. So you can infringe on something that is invalid. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ken Ray said it well on his show earlier this week. He said, you know, we'll probably all be using iPhone 23s by the time this gets... Mm-hmm. Straightened out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ken nailed it. Apple will have this drag out for so long. If the rulings go against them, which at this point seems unlikely. Ben, you're right that Apple can just write a check and make all of this go away, and it would not have a significant impact on the company's bottom line. As Webb pointed out on Dave's show last night, AliveCor is a privately held company, so Apple can just write a check and take the company if they want. And AliveCor does make products, so that would, in addition to getting Apple the patents, it would get them talent and product if they wanted those products.
And I mean, the problem here is, yes, I mean, in a sense, you could say, well, Apple can afford it, sure. But I mean, if Apple does that with everybody who, rightly so or not, says they have a patent, then the iPhone would be vastly more expensive and less competitive against others in the market, the Apple Watch in this case. So I think at some point, I mean, Apple has to fight the fight because, I mean, they're the biggest target. So everybody wants a piece of that cake.
Now, to that end, Patrice, I could see Apple turning AliveCor into an example and litigating the company into the ground. And then we have the charred ruins of AliveCor, Apple standing over them, looking around at all these companies and going, okay, who's next?
See, and that I don't think Apple will do. And not because they couldn't, and not because they might not be petty enough to do it, but because in the political climate right now, that would be really bad. Basically, if they ruin a company just because they filed a claim against them, I don't think that's going to fly. It's definitely not going to be popular with the Senate and so on.
That's a good point.
The best case here is fight it as hard as you have to, fight it with the normal battle, and then move on.
And at the end of the day, this is the way that business works. You know, you would like to think that this went through a judge somewhere, and some judge said, okay, there's enough doubt here to let it move forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we've talked before about cases on this show that, you know, should never have gotten past that initial stage. Mm-hmm. It should have been a summary judgment, you know, for Apple and just walk away. But, you know, some judge hopefully looked at this, and so that's why I'm willing to entertain the idea that there might be some overlap here and something that at least could potentially be in dispute. Patrice, I agree with you. You know, that wouldn't, in this political climate, it would not be good. But, you know, this is the way that the world works right now, for better or worse. And, you know, to say that that's just a horrible thing, well, it's the way it works. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and to be clear, I didn't mean that Apple fighting this is bad, bad press. I meant more if they really ruined the company, like if they went like to the nth degree and made an example, because I think that wouldn't fly.
And I do agree with you, Patrice. Even though I laid out that potential scenario, Apple is fully capable of doing that, but you're right, it would be bad optics for them to do that.
And you know, I mean, I don't want to like get Steve Jobs involved, but you can totally see that Steve Jobs would have said, okay, F them, we're going after them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would have not been zen about this at all.
No. If there's anybody that I want to see an example made of, it's Epic Games.
Oh yeah. Me too. Yeah, let's pick that one and leave that.
And I'm pretty sure that Steve Jobs would have gone thermonuclear on Epic Games.
Oh yeah.
He would have nuked them from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. Excuse me. All right. Well, then our next story, which Dave, I think this one was also in your notes. Apple is going to have two versions of their still not officially announced headset product. and we will have those in 2025. So there'll be the high-end version and the low-end version. And I'm guessing the low-end version is still a high-end version, just without as many features as the high-end version. So here's the deal. This information is coming from Ming-Chi Kuo. And I will do my usual disclaimer by saying that Ming-Chi Kuo does not have the track record that he is often attributed with. So when he offers up information like this, I do take it with a big grain of salt.
And Bob Beach in the chat is saying what I was thinking. If you weren't on video, you probably saw me shake my head because I'm like, we haven't even gotten the first gen device yet. We haven't even seen anything. And they're already talking about rumors for the second gen devices. Let's focus on the first gen first. And then if Apple is releasing this, they're for sure already working on that. Totally fine.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the first gen.
Yeah, we have no idea what the product even is first.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We don't know the price points.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the developer situation. Yeah. All we know, we're pretty much at the same point where we were with the Apple Watch like 10 years ago.
Yep.
We know something is probably coming. Neither we nor probably Apple know exactly what they have yet.
Or if they release it, they might. I mean, it might get killed 5 minutes before.
Yeah, I mean, Apple known to do that. I mean, that's a good example, Ben, about the Apple Watch. I mean, 10 years ago, the Apple Watch came out in 2015. You know, who would thought? Mm-hmm. Why would Apple want to design a watch? why? It's the same thing with this thing. It's still too new, and that's why it's on Mac Rumors. It's a rumor,
right? Yeah.
That is true.
and like Chuck said in the chat, that's clickbait. I mean, I did not have this in my show last night, just so you know, for that very reason, because it was, some of the stuff you have to chuckle about. Some of it's like, oh, God, why am I even wasting my time reading this?
And
to be fair, I'm sure, like, I mean, this is close enough to a hardware thing that I think he might have some nuggets and some information.
Yeah.
That's probably, I mean, if the rumors are true that we get, let's say, late this year, early next year, maybe the first gen or the first look at the first gen, then that means that the second gen is probably already in, that's at least early like production testing. So, or at least they have had some discussions about it, and then I could see that someone in the supply chain got something and leaked it somehow.
Well, to Ben's point about the Apple Watch, you know, let's go back a little farther. Mm-hmm. Why would Apple get involved in building a music player? What does that have to do with computer? I mean, this is kind of something that Apple or a phone
or a personal computer.
Yeah, I mean, so this is kind of what Apple does, and sometimes there are things that get killed along the way, but we'll know.
It would have been better if they never got released.
Mm-hmm. Probably Apple so.
Sock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. but you know what? It's kind of like taking cases to trial. If every single case you take to trial wins, you're not taking enough cases to trial. And so, Apple puts products out. Yeah, there have been some flops, and inevitably somebody writes up an article once every quarter or so about, here are Apple's spectacular flops from the past. Well, they put them out there, and look, somebody put the Pet Rock out there, and look how successful that was. What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm. Your pets still sell.
What's that saying? You miss 100% of the swings you don't take?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Dave, you're a better person than I am because you chose not to bring the clickbaity piece in.
But it's fun to talk about it. I mean, let's be honest. It's fun to talk about it. It's fun to make fun of it. The ridiculousness, as I said, might be true, but it's so light on information anyway. It's like, okay, yeah, fine. They're working on something.
Especially it could be 2 years down the road before this even happens, evolves. I mean,
yeah, it'll be 10 years down the road.
I mean, right. Talk about the new, you know, the iPhone 15 will be out soon. They start talking about the iPhone 15 before the 14 came out. I mean, it's
years before the 14 came out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So there is an interesting, to me, bit of information, assuming it's correct, in Ming-Chi Kuo's report. And it's that Pegatron is being phased out as a production partner for the rumored headset.
Yeah, probably also makes sense given all the things that have happened recently. Like, probably a good idea to not put another egg in the basket, another carry of eggs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the company that's going to be working on this apparently is LuxShare ICT.
Mm-hmm. Then they're well known.
So, yep, Apple's used them before.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyhow, there you go. Nice little excuse me, emotional piece. And actually, this one, Dave, I'm not sure if this is in your show notes either, but it may very well be. The compute module. Okay, so here's the deal. In beta code for Apple's operating systems, a reference for a new thing called compute module has shown up. And so this showed up in iOS 16.4 beta, and there's no information out there about what this is. In the code, there's compute module 13,1 and compute module 13,3. So implying that there's at least two of whatever this thing is. And now speculation is just running rampant. One of the things that people are suggesting is that this is going to be part of the core of a Mac Pro, meaning that you have these modules that plug in and give you your computing power, and that Apple is designing the Mac Pro. So when it's time to upgrade the computer, you pull out the compute modules that you have, buy new ones, and put them in its place. So the chassis stays the same, but you get a computer upgrade just by replacing the compute module. And I'm like, well, that sounds really good. That sounds kind of fun. But if you're replacing this compute module, you have a ceiling for the performance improvements you get, because there are other bus elements and other connections, excuse me, that aren't getting upgraded. So you're limited to the maximum throughput of these elements that don't get replaced. Anyhow, compute module 13.1.
Go ahead, Ben.
I'm on board with this, and I think I can look at the current Mac Pro and see how this might happen. Everybody here is aware of the MPX modules.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine each one of those essentially contained its own computer. And there would be, since there are three thermal zones, you could say have up to three M2 Ultras in a single Mac Pro. Apple would have to have some kind of cutting edge interconnect technology. But that is a way they could potentially make it more modular, since you could have different types of processors in each of those modules and have it be much more faster than any Apple Silicon device that currently exists. Having a standardized module could also mean you could have a smaller device with one or two modules, or even say a module hooked up to a display for an iMac Pro.
So
and
go Go ahead, David. Continue.
So essentially, Apple would be able to cut down on costs by having different cases, but having all the modules the same.
While that is possible, I mean, it could be that it's exactly what you're saying. I don't think so. I'm going to enter the it's not even the house of crackpot theories. It's the country of crackpot theories.
Oh, I hope you're going down the path that I'm thinking.
Okay, so there's two parts here. And I'm going to connect a couple rumors together. So the first thing is it is in iOS.
Mm-hmm.
While that could just be a mistake, there's a lot of shared code between between iOS and macOS these days. Mm-hmm. So it's possible it's just an accident and wasn't removed correctly on iOS. I have a different theory. So we've heard in the past about the AR headset.
Oh my God, you're on my path.
It might have an external power supply, something that's dangling off the device because it's too hot to keep on your on your head, basically. The battery and so on, it's just not working. So they have an external kind of module. I think that is the compute module. And maybe this comes in two variants for, I don't know, two power levels or two battery, I don't know. And I think that is what this compute model is, module is. So it's the computational part of the headset.
Yes.
That makes sense too.
That is absolutely the path that I was on. It's like I was sitting in the room at the end of the path waiting for you, and here you are, you showed up. Yes, that is exactly where I was going with this. I'm with you. I think this is part of Apple's AR headset product.
And it might be a third option. It might be completely different. Who knows? But go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I'll put a third option out there.
Okay.
I would love to have Apple go back to the days when there were Easter eggs and were baiting people with things. I mean, I'm waiting for them to at some point release some code that has something deep buried in it that says Phaser Bank 1 and Phaser Bank 2.
Yeah.
Watch the world melt, you know. So I seriously doubt that is this, but I kind of wish it were, just to mess with all these people that are spending way too much time trying. And look, I this could be competitor intelligence, and I get that. You know, you know that Apple's competitors tear everything apart that they can get their hands on to see if they can outguess what Apple's doing. But you know, this one is probably legit, but I still want to see that at some point.
When you mentioned that, it could also be not for the headset, but for the car project. You know, those also have compute module. So.
Oh, yeah.
Good point. Yeah,
it's also possible.
Yep.
If the car shares code with.
Yeah, exactly. Why would they add that now? I think that one is a little bit more of a stretch.
Yeah, but still, Patrice, as long as we've gone to crackpot country,
mm-hmm.
Why not throw in the full dash CarPlay 2 thing as a potential?
It also be that Apple is producing the compute module for the dash.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
good one.
Yeah, that's a good rumor. See, I like rumors like that, where there is something to think about and connect things together and speculate about. I like that.
Yeah, and Ben, I do like the idea of a modular Mac Pro where you can upgrade your processors and mm-hmm. other elements and keep the same chassis. And as much as I like that, I don't think that's the case.
Apple is just way too happy to sell you a new device.
Right. Yeah. Their profit margins on selling you a whole new computer are much better than selling you individual components.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I think they'd be happy to sell a new device. I just think if it maxes out with an M2 Ultra and is unupgradable, they won't be selling any of them to the intended audience. That will be.
I agree. Whatever the Pro Mac is, it needs to have some form of modularity.
That's true. And it just seems to me like the kind of outside the box thinking Apple would use to get themselves out of that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. And down another one.
Well, but to Jeff's point, you know, there are a lot of things that make up the speed of a Mac, not just the processor. And so, you know, I like this idea a lot because at least in theory, you could build as many, if depending on how modular you made it, you could then add more of these theoretical compute modules, you know, along the way up to a maximum of whatever the bandwidth could handle between, I guess, between the modules. But then, you know, okay, so, and you know that there are going to be people that say, well, that if that's the case, then Apple's going to put an artificial limit on it because they want to sell you the next box with the next chassis. That maybe can be upgraded. So, you know, how many years does this go? How many years does Apple make modules that would fit in this chassis before they say, okay, you got to buy a new chassis?
I could see even another crackpot theory thing, but this one probably even less likely than the others. I'm just thinking about automated testing, like on-device testing. They could have created a kind of an iPhone in a box that you can, like, in a data center, plug together, I don't know, 100 of those modules and have 100 different iPhone configurations and run some UI tests on for your apps. Like for bigger companies, that is for sure something that they might be interested in.
So are you meaning something like embedded iOS devices?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could basically like install an app on and then run a UI test suite on and see that the like have different phone configurations. Like, I don't know, this is an iPhone 8 and this is an iPhone 10 and so on, and see if your app is working properly. Also possible.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is it? This one is even more crackpot.
Well, as long as we're going really crazy crackpot. Mm-hmm. Embedded devices. What if Apple is seriously getting into embedded device spaces, which then opens up the market that Microsoft has controlled with embedded Windows devices? Can you imagine an ATM running iOS?
iOS CE.
And
iOS CE.
actually, that could make sense. Since using those same cores and processes that are in Apple's own devices and having them in embedded devices would theoretically make Apple's devices cheaper, or at least cheaper to produce for Apple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the target device is more secure because, like, I mean, like an ATM running Windows XP is probably not the safest thing.
Probably not.
Kind of the untold fact of the PowerPC days is that the embedded market pretty much paid for Apple's processors.
Yeah. I enjoy going down our crackpot theory path. I also enjoy talking about TSO hosts because they are awesome. Okay. The fact that you were that impressed with that segue, I will take that as a compliment because I felt that was a ham-fisted transition myself.
That was good.
All right. Well, then I'm glad that it totally worked. But here's the deal. TSO host, they are helping us be here for you every single week because they're a company that can provide the bandwidth. They're a company that provides hosting space. They can help you buy domain names, and they are leveraging that by providing us those services without charging us anything. Excuse me. So that we can live stream to you every week And so we can have a website where you can go and find find all the episodes that you want to watch or listen to at your leisure. Without their generous support, we would not be able to do what we do. And I mean, that's an absolute fact, because it would be prohibitively expensive for us to pay for all the bandwidth we need to live stream and then to stream recordings to you as well, and then to have the hosting for all those files. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot, and they are very generously providing that to us, and we really appreciate it. Now, how do we show our appreciation? Well, besides me coming up with clever segues to tell you about them, we also go on social media and thank them. So go out on your social media platforms and thank TSO Host for being here supporting us. And that's our way of being able to give back to them a little bit of thanks for everything they're doing. Now, let's say, though, that you've come up with a really cool domain name and you're ready to buy it. Go to TSO Host. And they will walk you through the process and get you set up with that domain name. And if you want to put a website with it, they do the hosting as well. So get all of that in your cart and then use the discount code BTN20 and you'll get 20% off your order. So not only are they being incredibly generous and supporting the British Tech Network, they're being incredibly generous and offering a great deal to all of our followers. So thank you to TSO Host for being here and supporting us. Now, Patrice, I have run my voice into the ground. I'm recovering from a cold, and I'm using that as an excuse to do what I do every single week, which is say, can you please tell people where to find the chat?
Yeah, I can totally do that, and it is really easy. So if you're listening to this live, like we're recording this with a live stream, you can watch us do this. You can watch how, like, you can watch the and see how the sausage is made. And if you're doing this, you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in the live chat. So it's that easy. And you can do that every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac Show. And also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the Big Show. If you're into the non-Apple side of things, like space technologies and cars and games and Windows and Android, and literally the entire rest of the tech space. So it's that easy. It's really fun. There's a really cool people in there, like Bob Beach and some like Chuck guy and some Jeff Gamet. I don't know who he is.
That guy's trouble.
That guy's definitely trouble. Yeah, you can talk to us in the chat. It's really fun. But let's say you are listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice, so the recorded form, which is totally fine. That's why we're doing this. This is what podcasts are for. And you're like, oh, like that link, that McRumors article about the compute module that we talked about. I want to find that link. It's very easy to get to that still. And also the cool things that are coming up. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a little calendar that pops up where you have to like select the date. And you select today's date, today as we are recording it, so the recording date, which is, I'm going to tell you that, the 24th of February, 2023, February 24th, 2023. And if you select that, you will see literally everything that we've talked about.
Awesome.
In the chat. Excuse me.
Thank you, Patrice. You rock. I want to point out that when you made the joke about that Jeff Gamet guy's in the chat, and I said, that guy's trouble, at the same time, synchronized, Dave and Chuck started nodding, like, emphatically, yep. Anyhow. All right. It's time for some cool things. So who has the first cool thing? And that would be Patrice. And okay, I love your pick, Patrice.
Good. There is a new TV show on Apple TV Plus. And since this is the Mac show, I think this is the right audience for it. Not that you need to be in the Apple ecosystem at all to watch Apple TV Plus shows. It's, I think, on almost every modern TV these days. There's the Apple TV Plus app, my Apple TV app, I don't know, Apple's branding. But you can't get it there. So my cool thing for today is a new show called Hello Tomorrow, which is a, it's a really high quality and somewhat quirky sci-fi show, I would say. It's like retro futuristic. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's like 50s style, I think.
Yeah, it's like,
I would say
like
it's 50s.
What 1950s thought the future would look like.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah, with like hover cars and like you can live on the moon, or so they say. We haven't seen that actually. And yeah, like, but the tech is kind of, it's kind of a mix between retro, like old school 50s, and modern things like robots and hover cars and so
holograms.
So,
and, yeah.
Exactly. Like it's really funny and really interesting because it kind of mixes old and new together. And the show is about like it's a sales team, I would say, and they're selling like apartments or something on
timeshares and apartments on the moon.
Yeah, on the moon. Whether that is everything that's going on or not, you have to figure out yourself.
It's I really liked it.
It's like Billy Crudup and who else do I know? Alison Pill is in there. Like it has a really good cast. So
It does. It has a good cast, and I like that you have the just this whole traveling salesman thing from the 50s with this retro style future, and but it's not just that, it's about all of these characters and watching them evolve or unfold, so that
unfold, yeah,
so that we have an idea of who they are at the beginning, and with each episode we're learning more about these characters. And it turns out that it's easy for us to make assumptions about who someone is, and then to see things happen that either prove or disprove our assumptions. It's it's done really well. I'm really enjoying the show.
Me too. Yeah, I'm usually not in the old time from my perspective, old timey things, but this is fun so far. So I'm for it.
I've watched every episode so far, so I guess that's four, and I've enjoyed each episode, and my complaint is that Apple's doing exactly what everyone else is doing, which is going old school and releasing one episode a week, and I have to wait for someone to remind me that a new episode is out, so I go and watch it.
I don't have a problem with the releasing it week to week. I actually enjoy that quite a bit. The problem here is more that Apple is really bad at telling you that something is happening. I mean, there's a notification, sure, but it's easy to get lost, or you disabled it anyway. Because Apple sends out ads over push notifications, stuff like that. So, it's really hard to keep track of things because Apple, as I said, Apple is not very good at that.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome pick. Dave, you are next, and apparently you have another show I need to add to my watch list.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the show. It's not technology oriented, but it's called The Tulsa King. It was on Paramount Plus. It came out late 2022, so it's season one is in the can, but worth going back and worth watching. It's with Sylvester Stallone. He's playing Dwight, a blindsided mobster that had nothing left in New York City, so then he's sent to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he settles in and sets up the mob in Tulsa, basically. Every episode I watched, I was like, it was just riveting. And then it had its mix of violence and its mix of the criminal activity, and and involves a dispensary and a lot of other things, but thought it was a really, really well written show, and was fun to watch. And I believe there's going to be a second season coming. So very popular. I enjoyed it.
You know what that reminds me of? Have you ever seen? It was a Netflix show, or I think it was Netflix and the Norwegian public television, called Lillehammer.
Oh yeah!
Oh, I love that show.
That was great, and that's how, when you described it, I was like, "Hey, that sounds somewhat
very similar." I didn't even think of that. And, and in fact, I think Netflix is going to remove it from the streaming.
That's bad.
They're doing Arrested Development. They're removing that too.
Mm-hmm.
Lame.
Very lame.
All right, Tulsa King.
Good show.
I'll check it out.
Awesome.
It was fun.
Okay. And then, Ben, you have the next cool thing.
Well, since it is a Friday in Lent, I thought I would offer up something that has a connection to pizza.
Lent and pizza. I always link those two. Yeah.
Hey, cheese pizza.
Cheese.
The 99 cheese pizza. But it is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. It is a kind of newer game that is modeled on the old SNES Ninja Turtles games. So it is kind of that top or that side brawler. It is for basically all platforms. You can get it Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, Jeff.
Yep. So Jeff is going to spend some more money.
Yes. Also, it's available from Netflix Games on Android and iOS.
I'm watching one of the videos on the webpage right now. And
Ninja Turtles.
It totally has that that 90s side scroller fighter look to it.
Yep.
100%.
I mean, it's completely game controller compatible. It's if you just want that retro fun but want a new storyline to it, this is totally your jam. It kind of goes in that same sense of nostalgia that Streets of Rage 4 came on.
Cool. All right. I'm going to hold off on buying this because I have Lego Star Wars Saga and I now have No Man's Sky on my Switch. And that's enough to keep me busy for now. Ben, you and your magic credit card.
I got to figure out what bank that is.
It's the bank of Ben Don't Give Me No Money. That's what bank that is.
From Tulsa.
From Tulsa, right.
Does that make me the Tulsa King?
Yeah, I think it does.
Or the Tulsa Queen.
Or the Tulsa Queen, sure.
And the difference, I mean, you and Stallone look so much alike, Ben. It's, you know.
I mean, it's, yeah, it is uncanny.
Man.
Yeah. All right. Chuck, I believe that makes it your turn.
It does. And I'm going to do a twofer this time. This was one of these last minute because I want to help Jeff spend a little money. And then I'll do the one I was going to. Well, the good news is that this won't cost you a lot of money. This stems from a conversation we were having pre-show about the LEDs on some of our gear being just a little too bright. If you haven't seen light dims before, this is a really inexpensive little product that is just what it says. It's a little adhesive piece of plastic that you can put over LEDs on just about anything. You get different size dots. You get sheets of it that you can cut and put on. You can get them in blackout, so it just absolutely blacks it out completely. Or you can get them so it just cuts it down a little bit so you can still see the LED, but it's not nearly as obtrusive or it doesn't, you know, light up your whole room at night. And again, really, really inexpensive. I've got these all over my house. When I bought my house, it had a built-in security system, and the panel in the bedroom was like insanely bright. But, you know, it's your security system, so you don't want to just tape over it and block it out. And I got one of these light dim sheets and taped it and adhered it over that, and it was absolutely perfect. So if you have something that has a little too bright an LED, this is a really, really inexpensive investment to solve that problem. And you'll probably have some left over as well.
You know, I'm not going to complain about you spending my money on this, because at $6.50, it's totally worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get, I mean, you get a whole bunch of them on the sheet. And if I remember correctly, because it's been, I mean, I think I bought one sheet and I've still got a bunch left over. But it is a super good value. And it also is a lot better than masking tape or electrical tape. Just, you know, it just looks better. It looks like maybe you were paying attention. So there you go, Jeff. That was just for you.
Thank you. And and I'm actually not going to complain about you spending my money on this.
Okay. Well, I'll try to make it a little more next time. But anyway, but the second pick is the one I already had tagged, and I wanted to point this out. There is a podcast. This is a podcast episode. It's a show called How I Built That. And they talk to founders of a lot of different companies about what they're doing, how they came up. Really, really interesting show. It's kind of hit and miss for me, because some of the businesses I find very interesting, some I just couldn't care less about. But this particular episode had Sam Altman, the founder of OpenAI. And I found it really, really interesting. And I'm not going to spoil the interview, but the interviewer did a really great job, because he asked Sam if he thinks at some point in the future he may look back and think that he, Sam, might be the Robert Oppenheimer of this generation. And I'll force you to go and listen to what the response was.
I listened to this today, and I wanted to make this a cool thing the next week. So we will hear about it again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That is totally fine. Like, it's,
yeah,
I'm just saying it is a really, this is like, the show is awesome. I've been listening to it for years. As you said, some business, even the businesses I don't care too much about, there's usually something you can take away from. But some are really interesting. But this episode is probably the best they've ever done.
Yeah, at least for our audience, you know, given how hot ChatGPT is and all.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is really, really interesting to hear how this guy did it. So if you subscribe to the podcast if you wish, but definitely listen to this episode.
Cool. And Chuck, just so you know, my little LED covers show up tomorrow.
Good. I'm glad. So now you'll sleep better at night.
Yeah. I will. Yeah. Did we get through everyone's stuff?
Not yours.
Well, except for mine. Yours. All right. So mine is this. It's called a dot card. And it's an electronic business card. Wow. So here's the deal. I see enough people over time that having business cards has value, but I just didn't feel like designing and printing new business cards and spending all the money on that, and knowing full well that business cards typically get thrown away after someone has your contact info in their database. So it felt kind of wasteful. So I thought, why not do something that cuts out the paper part of the cards? And so I got this dot card, and I didn't put a link in the chat yet. There we go. Now you have that. Okay. So there's a bunch of different companies that do this sort of thing. And the reason I'm trying out the dot card is because you buy the card, and then you don't have to pay a monthly service fee to use it, or a subscription fee to use it. So it creates like a little web page that has all of your info that you're choosing to share. And then it has an NFC chip inside the card. But since people don't always have phones that support NFC, or they don't know how to use the NFC, on the back, it has a QR code, and the QR code links to your.
Can you hold it up again?
Sure, I'll hold it up. Is it focused?
No, yep. It's not.
That's not working.
Anyhow, so so it lets you create, well, hold on, this link might work that I'm dropping in the chat, so you can see what you would get. And so what it does is it brings up a web page that has all the contact info you're sharing.
Nice.
And then it has a button you click to just automatically add the contact to your contacts. And it's slick, works really well, and no monthly subscription fee. Now the trade-off is that that all of the other analytics stuff that goes along with those subscription fees, I'm not getting to take advantage of. So for example, if I go to a conference and I'm using this card to share my contact information, it's not going to create a database where it says, okay, so here's where you met this person and it was at this conference on this day at this time. So that at the end of the event, I have this whole database that lists all the stuff that I would normally be keeping track of anyhow. It's just doing it automatically. So I give up that, but you know, I have something where I did pay once and getting a card delivered was like $20, including shipping. And it's a plastic card, so it's durable. You get to choose your color, and if you want to customize these, they have options where you can have your own logo put on them, or if you have a company, you can buy in bulk and have them set up for excuse me, for everyone in the company. So there's lots of options, and I figured this is an inexpensive way for me to dive into the digital business card space and see if this is something that really works for me. So dot cards, it was like $20 shipped, and I chose blue for my color, and there you go.
This is cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. And so
I'll be anxious, Jeff, to see what your eventual, how you eventually feel about using it. As to whether it's something you would permanently adopt or not.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted. And I figured at the $20-ish dollar range, this is a totally acceptable experiment.
Absolutely.
And what I'm thinking of doing, because there's nothing on this card that identifies it as me. And if I were to like drop it or something at an event and someone finds it, well, I mean, they can scan the card and they're like, oh, this belongs to Jeff Gamet. But I'm thinking like get a like Sticker Mule stickers made up that have like a logo or whatever and putting that on here. So it identifies this specific card as mine.
Mm.
They also make little NFC stickers that you can put on your phone. So you don't even have to have the card. Mm. And here's the thing for iPhone users. Don't put it at the top near the camera. Put the sticker at the bottom.
Or they physically show you it on the website.
Oh, they do? Okay, good. Yeah. Because at the top, up where the cameras are, that's where your NFC scanner is. And you don't want to be just constantly scanning your own tag.
Yeah, that's not helpful.
Yeah, that is not helpful. No. Excuse me.
Funny, though.
It would be kind of funny. Yeah. Very narcissistic too, potentially. Okay. And with that, thank you all of you for making my Friday morning just so enjoyable. You are all awesome. And yeah, this has been absolutely great. And Chuck, thank you for not spending too much of my money today.
But it was well spent, Jeff.
It was very well spent, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so with that, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me on social media at Ben Reithig on your social media of choice. You can find my interim website, reithigtech.blogspot.com. And through the website, I ran an alpha test of a daily news show this week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to take a look at it, kind of reach out to me, give me feedback. I'm definitely welcome with that. It's I'm not everything has quite buttoned up on that. It's still kind of in that, like I said, the alpha phase where I'm figuring things out.
Hey, if you don't start, you can't get it figured out.
Exactly.
Cool. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at InTouchableiOS at InTouchableiOS.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/InTouchableiOS. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, and I'm here on Fridays, and you can find me on Mastodon at DaveG65 and Mastodon.com.
Awesome. Excuse me. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays, if you're into the non-Apple side of things. Everything I'm doing, all the projects, the podcast, the social media links, all of that, you can find on thepatrice.com. And I'm running my own Mastodon instance where there is also British Tech Network now at British Tech at techhangout.social. And I'm Patrice at techhangout.social. So if you are interested, it is invite or sign, like I have to approve it. But if you sign up, I'll probably approve it.
Awesome.
Like, it's for friends, like we're all friends, like all the listeners are friends.
So. Patrice, I think it's so cool that you set up your own Mastodon instance.
Yeah. Someone recently told me I'm crazy because I'm running all of that stuff on my own. And why would I do that? And I'm like, it's just fun to do.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Limiting who can go to join.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that too, and also I like to put my money where my mouth is, and like if I'm running it myself, then I own it. Like no other company can take it away. Like I have my own email server, so I'm not relying on Gmail.
Yeah. Plus the person said brought up Patrice doing something crazy. Like that's something new.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know me very well, I think.
Clearly. Chuck, where can people find you?
Other than here, macvoices.com is where you can find everything. We're playing a little bit of catch up right now with some of the Mac Voices live shows we've done over the past couple weeks that got a little bit delayed in releasing releasing to the feeds because of all the CES coverage. But yeah, it's always great information. And this coming week on the After Dark part, which is only available to Patreon subscribers, is one of my favorite moments from the After Darks. And that's all I'll say. And it does involve Jeff. So with having said that, I'm also on all the socials at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices, depending on which one it is. Sometimes I'm on both. And hey, great to see everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Awesome. All right, so I believe that means it's my turn now. I'm Jay Gamut on the different socials, Mastodon and Instagram. That's where you can find me most right now. And then most Tuesdays on Chuck Show, Mac Voices Live, and then Thursdays on The Big Show, and then most Thursday evenings on Dave's Show, In Touch with iOS, here on The Mac Show on Fridays, and then also on The Context Machine with Brad Chaffin. And that's all the good stuff for now. So, hey, thank you for being here, making my Friday morning so awesome. All of you, you just rock. And for everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here as well. I'm so glad you're joining us. Excuse me, if you're participating in the chat room, hey, thanks for being part of that too. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later on, so glad you're a part of our family as well. And thank you to TSO Host for being here to support us. Give them some online love and let them know that you appreciate them too. Thanks, Mueller, for making sure we have people for shows every week. And Ewan, thank you for just being you. And don't forget to tune in next Thursday for The Big Show. And then we'll be back here again on Friday for The Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.